Hello, dear viewers. I'm George from Ireland. Here I am in Birkenhead. There's the town hall, built in a neoclassical style. The Corinthian columns, the 3-8 golden mean and so forth. I mean, apart from the clock tower, that is. So Birkenhead is a town of over 110,000 people on the Wirral Peninsula. So we're just south of the River Mersey, and a few miles away is Wales. Only about 10 miles away is Wales. So Birkenhead, also close to Ellesmere Port. The name comes as Anglo-Saxon word meaning birch tree. Anyway, it was a hamlet till the early 19th century, and the 1801 census records it having only 110 people. But then major shipyards were built here, and the population exploded in the 19th century. So imagine going from being a hamlet to having this by 1897. So there's a very fine square built from 1825 to 44. And so it's an example of late Georgian architecture. Of course, the last king, George IV, he died in 1830. The building went on through the reign of his brother, William IV, Sailor Billy, into the early years of Queen Victoria. So this is an example of its early Victorian prosperity. See the porticoes built here, so that if you ring the bell, you can wait out of the rain until someone comes down to answer it. Very large windows. Remember, glass was expensive in those days. Plus, it meant you're losing a lot of heat, no double glazing. The obviously quite prosperous people who lived in this square. So it's got more listed buildings than any other square in the United Kingdom, with a single exception of Trafalgar Square. So there was William Laird, a Scotsman, who came here in the early 19th century. He's the one who really put Birkenhead on the map, setting up his shipyard. And then the Laird family was the dominant family in Birkenhead for over a century. Eventually there was that shipbuilding company, Camel Laird's, which was here. So now people who are very keen to say they come from the Wirral, this peninsula, not from Liverpool, which is just over the river. But there's been a ferry service for a long time, and for decades there's also been the metro, so you can get the train to Liverpool Central in about 10 minutes. Look at the balconies, not that we have much need for them. You see four-storey houses excluding the basement, because of course until the 1880s there were no lifts. Plus, running water, only the wealthy had running water, often the pressure wasn't enough to get the water to the top floor. So you wouldn't want buildings too much higher than this. Before the 1880s, buildings almost never more than six stories high. I know you may say, well, what about medieval cathedrals? Okay, but the campanile would be empty apart from the bell itself. Look at the red road, I'm not sure why that is. So a fine and handsome square, I think you'll agree. The Laird family, they went into politics, and I can't remember who the rival was. There was a liberal family and a conservative family, the two major families in the town, battling it out for parliamentary representation. But since the early 20th century, it's been a firmly Labour seat. And Frank Field, one of the only honourable Labour politicians, he represented the town for 30 years. He's retired from politics. One of those right-wing Labour MPs there is. Perhaps surprising that he got to be the MP here. A fervent Christian and indeed a former member of the Conservative Party and a Londoner, made it very unlikely he'd be elected in Merseyside. What else about this, about here? Just think, any famous people? The loathsome Paul O'Grady, who was RIP a couple of years ago, best known by his alter ego Lily Savage. He was from here. So actually a very considerable town in its own right. It's a sort of quite white British town. Obviously a lot of people got Irish ancestry, so there are not that many immigrants who came here. There is a mosque here though, partly because unemployment is usually double what it is in the rest of the United Kingdom. So suffered very badly in the Great Depression, was rioting in 1932, and then after the Second World War, shipbuilding gradually went into decline, dragged the whole town down. There are a lot of derelict buildings, so even to this day, it's obviously revived somewhat in the last 20 years or so. What else was I going to say? So sort of a high rate of smoking, of relatively low life expectancy, but property is very affordable around here. There's obviously a Catholic church, plenty of Anglican ones. I think it was one of the more Protestant areas of Liverpool. Now, Brendan Behan notoriously came here in 1939, just weeks after the Second World War started, with a view to blowing up the Camel Laird's dockyards. But a special branch who was here, who was in the Irish Republican Army, a terrorist organization, He was arrested and given just 3 years in a borstal. He was 16 years old. Incredibly lenient. What would happen to you in almost any other European country at the time? If you're lucky, be in a concentration camp for years, probably executed. And then he was, by his own admission, in Borstal Boy, his autobiography, and there's a film of it, he was treated with great kindness, and he was Holsley Bay in eastern England for a long time. Then he was set free, and when he came back to Liverpool to be deported back to Dublin, he was met by the same detectives who arrested him 3 years earlier. So there he went. And he said he would not attack Great Britain again until we'd beaten this bastard Hitler, he said. Now, then, no sooner was he back in Dublin than he fired at the guards, as in the Southern Irish police, managed not to kill one, was on trial, and he could have been sentenced to death by firing squad, but got some years in the Curragh, where the IRA were interned. He was convicted by a military court, but then he was released after the Second World War. So very, very lucky. He got 14 years, but released after about 2 years. So look at this. John Laird, okay? So one of the very significant figures, mayor of Birkenhead, politician and so on. A lot of the stone comes from his native North Britain. Maybe he was convinced of the superiority of all things Caledonian. There we go. And it was laid out by an Edinburgh architect as well. I don't remember his name. But some of the other streets are less salubrious, less aesthetically pleasing. And from this angle, if we look back to the town hall, you get an idea of the scale of the town hall. And in the middle, you can see that Queen Victoria Memorial, erected in 1887 for the 50th anniversary of her reign, her Golden Jubilee. And it got various inscriptions on it about the good that she wrought for her people. I'm not sure if the Queen Empress ever visited Birkenhead. But yeah, Birkenhead made its money from commerce, from shipbuilding, trading things, British exports being sent overseas, indeed importing goods from overseas and so on. This square is called Hamilton Square, after that Scottish town. Or is it after a Mr. Hamilton? I know not. And then they've even got these sort of unnecessary columns, you know, just for the visual effect. They don't actually hold anything up, I'm pretty sure. And I saw there's several steps up to the front door, but I thought that makes it a bit more difficult to get into the house. But is it to protect it against flooding? But we're well above the level of the river. You wouldn't think it. And perhaps oddly, it's a square. It's built on quite a sloping street, you know. Maybe you can't tell from this angle, but we are going a little bit uphill. So there's the park, and there's also a war memorial in the middle of it, constructed in 1922 for all the local men who laid down their lives in the Great War for civilization. As in the First World War, various other little memorial plaques. Yeah, that is Birkenhead. And by the 1980s, a lot of Birkenhead people were going overseas to work. Often they were expatriates working in the Middle East. I remember in Qatar in the mid-90s meeting people from Birkenhead and around about. So they're often proud they come from the Wirral. I wonder what the etymology of that is for this little name. And obviously very close to Wales, some Welsh people came here as well. Now, anything else you might want to know about Birkenhead? But yeah, I've got to say, apart from this square, I'm distinctly unimpressed. And there's the war memorial you can see behind me, and flying the Union flag on either side of it. Various little memorial stones to military servicemen who fought in various conflicts. All right. Anyway, thanks very much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Okay, toodaloo.